According to the first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus made many appearances after his resurrection. Now, we spent a little time on most of the ones that we have some detailed account of in the scripture. We don't have a lot of details about all of them, but the ones that we have, we've been trying to address. Now, nearly 6 weeks after he'd left the tomb, Jesus is going to meet with his followers one last time. The event is mentioned in Mark 16, 19 and 20. We just touched on that last week. But most of the information that we have about it can be found in Luke 24 and Acts 1. We're going to be drawing from those accounts today, blending them together a bit as we have in the past, so we can see the harmony of what took place. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, after his suffering, Jesus showed himself to these men, speaking of the apostles, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together in the vicinity of Bethany, we're told, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, returning back to Luke, verse 50, it says he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. Back again in Acts, verse 10, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. And then Luke chapter 24, 52 says, then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Now I wonder what that was like. Meeting with Jesus, but again, the last time that they were with him before he ascended. And think about it, when he ascended, what was that like? Perhaps it was like watching a plane depart from, you know, the airport and take off. Have any of you ever done that? Maybe you've gone to see a loved one off, you know, and they get in the plane and they're going, and you know you're not going to see them for a while, and you just watch and you linger, and maybe it was kind of like that. Or maybe it was like, you know, maybe watching a boat move across the sea, moving farther and farther away until it crosses the horizon and you can no longer see it. Perhaps it was something like that. See, as they watched, as they looked, they gazed, watching him depart until they couldn't see him anymore. Yet, they didn't stop looking even after they couldn't see him anymore. It says that their eyes were fixed on the heavens, as if they couldn't accept that it was really happening, that he was really leaving. Or maybe they were hoping that he'd do a 180. You know, come right back. Come right back. Maybe they were hoping for that. Can you blame them for gazing? Can you really blame them for hoping that? I certainly can't. Yet the angels have to snap them out of that, don't they? No sense hanging around gawking at the sky, they're told. It's not productive. You've got a mission that you were left with. Don't just stand here staring into the sky. Yeah, but think about it a minute. When Jesus died, they thought he was gone for good, didn't they? But he wasn't. He wasn't. Now he's ascended to heaven. Is he gone for good this time? Good question. Are you ready? The answer to that question is both yes and no. Bear with me. We're going to be looking at John chapter 16. We read there, Jesus said, I spoke to you about these things. I told you about this. But here's where he told them about this. In John 16, verse 5, he says, now I'm going to him, the Father, who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, now listen closely, it's for your good that I'm going away. Do you hear that? Jesus says, it is for your good that I'm going away. Jesus was gone for good. It was for their good that he was leaving. For their good. Now, that'd be hard to accept, don't you think? That'd be hard for them to accept. And I think it was hard for them to accept even right then, as they watched him ascend, that this was really a good thing. If you'd taken a poll, I'm pretty sure none of them would see any good in him leaving them. Yet reading on in John 16, he tells them why it's better for him to depart. Unless I go away, he says, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying, don't be sad. I'm leaving, but I'm sending a replacement. Wait a minute. I still doubt if they would have been overjoyed about that. A replacement? That's what he's telling them. In John 14, verse 16, he had said this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you now and will be in you later. Verse 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus was leaving, and he was sending someone again to take his place. Well, that's great, right? Not so much, they think. Not so much. They don't want someone else. They want Jesus. Can you relate to that? I can. Be honest. Would you rather have Jesus with you right here, right now, or someone else? My first impulse would be to respond, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. I don't have to have any other idea about who might replace him. I want Jesus. That might be our impulse. But listen closely. It wouldn't have been the right response from them to say that, nor should it be for us. Why? We're not talking about Jesus just sending anyone. Jesus would commission the Holy Spirit to take the ball and carry it to the finish line. And following that analogy, this is not some second string player. The Holy Spirit of God is not a rookie quarterback. This is the star player who is especially designated and equipped to lead a special team to gain back every bit of yardage the opposition has claimed as their territory. And the Holy Spirit is more than able to move us victoriously, step by step, toward the finish line. Now, something Jesus here, though, says will be just a bit confusing. He's saying, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm sending you the Spirit, the Counselor, the Advocate that I promised. He's coming in my place. But he said something in John 14, like I say, that's just a little strange. Because he said, I'm sending him, but I'll come to you. Well, wait a minute. You're sending him? What's going on? A few verses later, John 14, he said this, all this I've spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. Hear this. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I am. Do you hear that? Jesus is saying, I'm sending the Spirit, and you should be glad that I'm leaving to send the Spirit. You should be glad about that. It's better for you. It's for your good that I do that. He's emphasizing that, isn't he? But that's hard for us to accept. And again, there's kind of a mixed message here, it seems, because who's coming? The Holy Spirit or Jesus? Because Jesus says, I'll come back. You'll see me. Well, who's coming? The Holy Spirit? Yes, they're both. Again, it's difficult for us to grasp, but the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God are all one and the same. All one and the same. Perhaps you recall from last week that Jesus promised his disciples that when he gave them the Great Commission, that he would be with his followers always to the very end of the age. Well, how can that be, Jesus, if you're leaving us? How can that be? Because Jesus would be returning to them in spirit through the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't quite get that. And maybe you're scratching your head saying, I don't quite get that either. But hear me. When they received, in a matter of days, the Holy Spirit and began to experience Christ's presence in ways that they never even imagined that they could, well, then they'd understand why it was better. And what was for their good. He wouldn't just be with them. He'd be in them. That's what he said. And they were not at all disappointed when that happened. They weren't saying, oh, you know what? I'm not caring for this. You know, this isn't good. Jesus, come back. You know, and you take the Spirit back and you come back. No, they weren't saying that at all. They weren't thinking that. They weren't feeling that at all. They found out that it was for their good that Jesus had gone and the Spirit was sent. Over the next several weeks, we will walk with them as they begin to discover the impact of that truth. My prayer is that on this journey, we're all going to be impacted by this truth as well. Yet there's more here. He'd soon be with them in spirit. But the angels also told the apostles that that day, on that mountain, when he ascended, he'd be coming back for good. He was leaving for their good, but he'd be coming back for good. Because Jesus also told them about this in the opening verses of John 14. Now, backing up a little bit in that chapter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, if you haven't picked up on this yet, he keeps telling them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be grieving. Don't be troubled. Don't, right? He keeps telling them that. Why do you think he's telling them that? Because they're troubled. Because they're anxious about this. Because they're grieving about this. They're even grieving before he leaves because he's saying he's going. Can anyone relate to that? When you know someone you love, you cherish, you care about so dearly, who's so much part of you, is leaving, even if you are believing they're coming back, don't you start missing them even before they're gone? Don't you start grieving? Even if it's a child going away to college or to the military or moving across the state with a new job or to another part of the country or going off into a mission field, don't you start missing them even before they go? You do. You do. And they were missing him even before he left. So he's preparing them by telling them, look, it's going to be good that I go. It's going to be a good thing that I go. It's going to be good for you that I go. It'll be a blessing for you that I go. But I am coming back. But I am coming back. Because he says, again, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. It's a big, big house, lots of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? verse 3 of John 14, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." So he's leaving them for a while, and it's for their good. He's sending the Spirit. It's better for them that he sends the Spirit, because there's going to be a need for not just Jesus being with them sometimes, but being in them all the time. All the time. That was so vitally important. But again, he is reassuring them. "But I'm going to come back in the same way that I've left." That's what the angels said. That's incredibly good news, isn't it? Is that good news? Maybe it's been so long since we met together, you forgot. This is where you say amen.
Amen.
Is that good news? Is that good news?
Amen.
That he's within us. He's with us now in a very powerful way, and he's coming back. It's so great that we're able to meet like this now. It's wonderful, isn't it? Well, we've longed for one another, haven't we? See, though we have Christ living within us now, if we're born again, don't we have a longing to be even closer still? Even though he's living within us through his Spirit, we long for him to be closer still, not just in spirit, not even just within us, but for to be here. This has been quite a learning experience over the past year, hasn't it? Some of it's been some hard lessons, but I think we've learned a few things. How many of you understand at this point, maybe if I'd asked this question a year ago, you would have just, "I don't know what he's talking about." But now, how many of you understand there's a big difference between a Zoom meeting and being in the same room with somebody? If I'd asked that a year ago, you might have said, "I don't know. I don't know what a Zoom meeting is. Never been in a Zoom meeting. Never had anything to do with that." Virtual services have been a blessing, haven't they? But don't you prefer gathering in person? Don't you? Once again, if I said that a year ago, you'd be going, "What do you mean? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" But see, we've learned some things. It was a great blessing. It still is for those who can't be with us to have these virtual services, have live streaming when we can, have pre-recorded stuff. But it's not the same as being in person, is it? That's why, if you think about that, we should all eagerly anticipate Jesus coming in person. You hearing me? To take us to be with the Father, where we'll be with him in person. My goodness. It's so wonderful that the Spirit of Christ is living within us, among us, and in us right now. Hallelujah. And hear me. Again, we could not do all that we need to do if we didn't have the Holy Spirit with us and in us. We could not. We couldn't fulfill that mission. But with him, we can. We can. But we still long for his return when the mission will be completed. I've heard people say, "Well, what's he waiting? What's Jesus delaying his coming back?" Part of it, I believe, folks, is that we're not on mission. There are souls to be saved, aren't there? There's people who need to hear the gospel yet today. Amen? And if we're sitting on our hands watching the sky, then we're missing something, aren't we? So, kids, are you ready? Those of you who maybe picked up your papers to fill out, I gave them a little study guide to follow along, you know, so they can track with me. Here you go. We should expect Jesus to come back in person. Just as he had left, he will return. That's what the angel said. And that day is drawing near. No one knows the day or the hour, but like there are signs of spring or fall, changing seasons, there are indications that it may be sooner than we think. We should expect him to return. There are those who say, "Well, he's only here in spirit. He's not coming back in person." What did the angel say? In the same way you saw him go, he's coming back. He's coming back. Meanwhile, We shouldn't just stand around while we wait for his return. We shouldn't. If the first followers of Jesus were urged to stop gawking and get on with business at hand, what about us? There are a lot of folks, and I understand it, they are longing for Jesus' return, and they're studying and trying to interpret the scriptures that foretell his second coming, and they're looking forward to that. But they're so focused on him coming again that they're not living in the now. They're so focused on gazing to the sky and watching for his return, they are not living for today in the way that he's called us to. That's a shame. There's too much work to be done. A world of lost people needs to hear about Jesus before he returns. Why? Without him, they will perish. But this is an incredibly big job, isn't it? And we're in desperate need of help. Just like they needed divine assistance, so do we. We need the Holy Spirit of God to get it done. We do. Thankfully, the Father's already sent him, and he's available to all of his children who ask. In Luke 11:13, Jesus said it. I've referred to it before, but I'm going to read it. Jesus said, "If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Message translation renders it like this. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake in his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of doing such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. Don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Now that's a rhetorical question. And I know through this lesson, I often do this sometimes, I ask a question, is it this or that? And I say, it's both and, or the answer is yes and. There's only one answer to this one. Will the Father who conceived you in love give the Holy Spirit when you ask him? Yes. Yes. Isn't that what Jesus said? Yes. Have you been conceived in love? Born again, that's the idea. Have you? If you have, then you ask the Father for the Spirit. He will give him to you. He will. That's what Jesus said. For the asking. The disciples were going to be told to go and pray and wait. Pray and wait. What do you think they were praying for? Jesus to come back? Maybe. What they should have been praying for is asking the Father to send the Spirit. And I believe they were, because he did. And we're going to pick up there next week. If you have not yet accepted Jesus as your Savior, submitted to him as Lord, use the expression born again. If you have not been born again, born from above literally is what the scripture says. As a child of God, by accepting Jesus as your Savior, then I urge you to. He's coming back. As I already said, without him, you'll perish. But with him, you will live forever and ever and ever. And if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, why might that be? Maybe you haven't asked. I would encourage you, ask, and he will give. Isn't that what Jesus said? Amen. Amen.